So last week on The Science Show, Robin, you mentioned the Ambitious Australia report. It said that Australia must reform R&D systems now, and it gave 20 recommendations ranging from establishing 6 national innovation themes to encouraging connections between universities, industry and government. So what's at stake here? What do we have to lose if those recommendations go unheeded? To find out, I spoke to Jaz Chambers, President of Science and Technology Australia. The report says Australia's R&D sector is currently an underperforming system that is the result of often trifling incremental improvements, risk aversion and band-aid solutions. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is a fair assessment, actually, of a system under pressure, needing a whole of government review and a whole of government approach to it. So yes, I think it's a fair assessment.
If nothing changes, what do we lose? Plenty of people listening will not be working in science, or they don't know people who work in research or innovation. How will it affect people who don't work inside those realms?
The STEM industry underpins so much of what we do and what we eat and what we buy off the shelf. So putting it in context for the people who don't work in this system, this is how we improve water quality. This is how we improve our crop yields. And also this is how we make decisions when it comes to things like the weather and what's happening and do we need to move groups of people. Without having a really robust system that underpins that decision-making support that occurs, that's what's at risk here, is the way in which we live our lives and the information that we rely on to make decisions.
Why is it important that we retain that locally? I'm sure some people might think, oh, well, as long as other people are thinking about these things, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, why is it so crucial that we keep all of that within Australia?
Well, I think, first of all, is to understand how Australia has such an extraordinary R&D system that has been invested in over a long period of time, but that investment has been declining. And that's also against the cost of actually doing that research. This is an expensive exercise, like many other things that are increasing in price. So is doing research and development. But we do need that to underpin. So to your question around why can't we just outsource that to other parts of the world? It's important to understand that the scientific, with many, many other countries, industry, is actually a worldwide endeavour. But if Australia doesn't have a system that can give and receive inside that cooperative global system, then that becomes pretty difficult to get the information that we want, the knowledge that we want, and the deals. So to give you some context around that as just an example, Australia doesn't have satellites that can be used to tell the weather. We rely heavily on other countries to give us that information. We have some of the best people in the world who can then interpret that information for us in our country and our region, but we actually require that cooperation to exist globally. So it already happens, and it's important for our own local context that we're able to do things like tell the weather, understand what's happening with tides and other parts of how the planet works, as well as build our own system so that we are resilient when it comes to shocks. We've got a shock right now going on around energy and oil. And Australia, you can see how reliant we are on other parts of the world for supply chain. It is important when it comes to things like pandemics, et cetera, that we have the ability to turn our minds and then produce something as a solution.
I think you're right. Just mentioning the pandemic, that it became quite obvious that when you start from behind and something like that happens, it's really hard to catch up. Whereas if you're leading or at least a front runner in that area, it's much easier to react and come up with ways to deal with these things as we go, instead of scrambling to get to a point where we can actually start to make those decisions.
Absolutely.
So in the Ambitious Australia report, it gave 20 recommendations. Which of those do you think should be implemented most urgently?
For people in the STEM industry, this is the multi-generational, intergenerational opportunity to change the system. And it's important that people in the industry take a read of this, because the way that we have interpreted this is an invitation for change. It's not going to happen overnight. And the way in which the report was provided was as a package of recommendations. So when you ask what's the most important thing, actually it's pretty difficult to respond to any one aspect of this, because they are interconnected recommendations and there is a flow on for each one. What we're asking the government to do is to move quickly and seize the opportunity and the momentum that's been created by the release of the report. And we're very keen that the STEM industry is invited in to work with government on co-design of the implementation of the report. I think one of the things, if you page 27, go look at that. That's the proposed governance structure.
Okay, yep. Flipping to page 27 now.
Yep, great. So that outlines the governance recommendation around this. And you'll see on that page, in that picture, there are a series of pillars, which are health, agriculture and resources, technology, energy, environment. What that represents to us, if you really think about that, it is the implications for most ministerial portfolios, from health to ag and environment. That's the opportunity. Science does not sit in one portfolio in government. It goes across all of them. And that picture represents the opportunity for science to come into the industry conversation, because it already underpins it. So it's making more obvious that connection and how R&D and innovation can produce great outcomes for each of those areas, which have been prioritised. What I would say about that picture that's probably missing a little bit there, but it's all through the report, is where discovery research fits into this. That's an important aspect that we definitely want people to understand. Not everything is going to just be shoved into these pillars. There is absolutely the opportunity for discovery research and that foundation work to continue.
Jazz Chambers, President of Science and Technology Australia.